Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. The Dog Talk Show is brought to you in part by Invisible Fence Northwest, InvisibleFenceNW.com, and All the Best Pet Care, AllTheBestPetCare.com. Great to be back this week. I was in Florida last week visiting family, visiting my 97-year-old Nana. Do you remember, Eric, when she called in? It was close to kind of in the beginning days of the show.
I seem to recall hearing from both your mom and your Nana.
Yeah, so she was 95 at the
time.
It's
nice to have the family support.
Yes. Well, I went onto the website, dogtalkshow.com. All of the past shows are archived. And when I was with her last week, she's currently now 97. I looked up that interview. It was the interview with Rose Dedan, and we were talking about wolves and humans. It was a really cool interview, and I played that part for my Nana so that she could hear herself on the radio, and she said that she wasn't aware that she was on live radio when she called in, and she said she was glad she didn't swear.
Oh, yeah.
So we have a great interview today. We're going to start in the second segment, talking to Kevin Behan, author of Your Dog is Your Mirror, a very interesting book.
And when you're done, you can make that pun. Thanks for being a great guest.
Yes, I can. Thank you.
See, I'm getting this
you
out now.
You can make the pun, Eric.
I'm getting this out of the way now so we don't actually
and
have
I don't
to
know
do
if
it
I'm
while
pronouncing
on.
His name correctly. It's B-E-H-A-N. I'll have to ask him when we get him on the line. Before we talk to Kevin, though, I've got some announcements, and then I also wanted to share a little bit of my experience. We took Remy to work with Vonnie Getting, who we had on the show a couple weeks ago, and for some canine water therapy, and it was really fun, so I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But first, announcements.
And if you're taking your dog for a walk today, you're getting some canine water therapy, too.
Yeah, nice to be back in the rain. It was in the 80s and sunny in Florida.
Oh,
but,
really?
You know, I'm not a hot weather person, so it's fine.
Must have been a
and
nice
you know,
break, though.
It was nice earlier this week. We're getting glimpses of it. So, but a fine point, Eric, it is a nice day to take your dog for a walk, regardless of whether there's moisture in the air or not.
Poncho.
So tomorrow night, 7:30 at the Lake City store, All the Best Pet Care, their Lake City location, I'm giving a talk, a free talk about effective communication with your dog. I'm very much looking forward to this. It's one of my favorite things to talk about. And it's a free seminar. And it's at the Lake City location, All the Best Pet Care. Space is limited, so RSVP if you do wish to attend and do plan on attending. And you can RSVP by either going to the Lake City store in person. It's on the corner of about Lake City Way and 80th, kind of right off you get off of I-5, right after you get off I-5. You can also call 206-524-0199. That's 206-524-0199. You can let them know that you'd like to come to that talk, or you can email them lakecity@allthebestpetcare.com. And all of that information is on the All the Best Pet Care website, which is allthebestpetcare.com. Tomorrow night, Thursday, April 14th, 7:30 to about 9 p.m., effective communication with your dog. It's a talk that I'm giving. I'm very much looking forward to it. Also, another announcement is there is a seminar going on put on by the Assistance Dog Club of Puget Sound. It's a conference. It's titled, It Doesn't Have to Be a Mountain, Simple Solutions for Service Dog Issues. And that is Saturday, June 18th, 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Inn at Gig Harbor. And you can find out more about that seminar if you're interested. If you just want to learn more about service dogs, if you know someone in your family or friends or someone you work with who has an assistance dog or works with an assistance dog, or if you're a professional in the field, it's open to the public. And the website there is www.dogsaver.org/ADC. And there's a link to that on the Dog Talk Show homepage as well, which is dogtalkshow.com. reminder to let everybody know that we also have a Facebook fan page. So you can get some in-between show communication from me talking about things going on in my life and upcoming guests, special coupon codes, all that good stuff. If you just go to Facebook, search for The Dog Talk Show and become a fan of our fan page. And all the past shows are archived on the website, dogtalkshow.com. You can also download us for free on iTunes. So all of our over 100 shows now are available as a free audio podcast on iTunes. So you can download it onto your phone or iPod or MP3 player and then perhaps listen to The Dog Talk Show while you're taking your dog for a nice long walk outside, enjoying the rain or sun or whatever it might be. So, we, like I said, I'm going to be interviewing Kevin Behan, the author of Your Dog is Your Mirror. Very interesting book, lots of interesting ideas. I'm very much looking forward to talking with him about his book and his theories and philosophies. And we're going to be talking with him in the second segment. We will be giving away one of his books, a free copy of the book. So all you have to do is call in for that. So stay tuned. We'll be doing that later in the show. We took Remy, so a couple weeks ago I interviewed Vonnie Getting, who's the owner of Dog on Day Spa, and she's a licensed animal and human massage therapist, and she does canine water therapy, and it's something that I had never done before, and since the interview we've taken Remy, the German Shepherd, who had a very bad case of rabies vaccinosis. It's a reaction to the rabies vaccine. She had a very high fever. She lost her coordination. It had caused some neurological compromises, and it was just really horrible reaction, very severe, and we weren't sure how she was going to pull out of it. And it's been several months later, and she is doing a lot better. I would say pretty close to back to normal. I think her hind end is still a little bit weak. No. Darcy's nodding no across the way. She's doing really well, but I think her muscles could be stronger from lack of exercise because her hind end was so compromised. Anyway, we took her to canine water therapy. I don't think she'd ever swam before, but Darcy's got some pictures of it posted on her Facebook fan page for Healing Allies, which is HEELING Allies. You can find her Facebook fan page, and there's lots of pictures of Remy and Vonnie, some really wonderful pictures. But Remy basically learned how to swim, and she was trying to swim at first and was lifting her front paws up too far and splashing and then trying to bite the splashes as she was trying to swim at first, a little awkward, but then she got the hang of it, and then between swims, she would swim out, get a ball, bring it back, and then she would come onto the steps and rest, and then Vonnie would massage her, and she loves it, and since then, we've taken her down to the lake, and now all she wants to do is get in the water. But especially if you have a dog with arthritis, you know, older dog, or maybe even a younger dog that has some, you know, hip or elbow problems, arthritis, dog that's recovering from a surgery, or a dog that's really tight, or perhaps a dog that's competing in some sort of sport, agility or fly ball or something like that. It's just a great, really a therapeutic water massage. It's really, really wonderful. And Vonnie's great. She was just really patient with Remy, and Remy did great. So I highly, highly recommend Vonnie and canine water therapy. Again, her website is Dog on Day Spa, and that's spa with a W at the end, like a play on the word paw. So Remy's a water dog now, and we look forward to our next session, which is this Saturday. So that was really fun. I highly recommend that. Very helpful. And she definitely, we could tell, she felt really nice and loose and relaxed afterwards, which I can imagine I would too. So we are, I'm going to be talking with Kevin Behan, B-E-H-A-N. He's the author of Your Dog is Your Mirror.
Interesting concept.
Yeah, it is.
I wouldn't necessarily be looking at my dog if I was trying to style my hair, you know? So we'll see what he means by that.
Yeah. He's talking a lot about how dogs are, I mean, this is hard. This book is thick, and it's kind of hard to articulate what he's saying. I get what he's talking about, but, and I do have a lot of questions for him, so I'm really looking forward to talking with him and letting him.
Is this how they say, like, some like dogs and owners look alike?
No.
Is this the same
so,
sort of thing?
Well, he did have some observations of that, but it's more so like an internal reflection. So it's a reflection of our dogs reflect our feelings in a way, or they'll bring something up for us that maybe we're not aware of. Like deeply buried feelings or something that's in our unconscious or subconscious that our dogs can feel.
Interesting. Does this work for vampires too? I guess there's lots of questions here.
Lots of questions. So we're going to be bringing Kevin on in just a few minutes. We're going to take a break and we'll be back with the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150. For more than 25 years, All the Best Pet Care has been helping people choose the best foods, treats, and toys for their dogs and cats. They are a locally owned family business bringing about little miracles every day by following the Mother Nature model of nutrition. Stop by to meet their adoption cats, schedule an anesthesia-free dental cleaning, or bring your dog to the toy testing area. Their new Edmunds store, next to the PCC Natural Market, opens in late February. To learn more, go to allthebestpetcare.com or follow them on Facebook.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Camley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com. Ever feel like strangling your boss?
You little!
Or maybe you're the boss and your employees make you want to strangle yourself. Drop that noose and tune in or call in to The Boss Show, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150. Hosts Jim Hessler and Steve Motenko, co-owners of Path Forward Leadership Development, will take your calls on everything boss-related, offering deep insights with a dollop of outrageousness. The Boss Show, workplace wisdom with heart and humor, Wednesday afternoons at 5.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show and owner of Sensitive Dog, Dog Training and Behavior. Invisible Fence Northwest uses a balanced, gentle approach to help dogs learn their boundaries. I've seen it firsthand. They work with each person and pet as an individual and teach in a way that's fun and respectful. Your dog quickly learns it has freedom and fair boundaries, so is safe, happy, and secure. Isn't that what we all want for our dogs? Save $100 when you visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you're a Dog Talk Show fan. They're there for the life of your pet.
Want to hear something different from talk radio? The choice is clear. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And we are on now with Kevin. And Kevin, how do you pronounce your last name?
Behan.
Behan. Oh, good. I was right. Kevin Behan, who's the author of his new book, Your Dog is Your Mirror. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
Thanks for having me, Julie.
And Kevin is talking to us from Vermont, which is my former home state. I went to the University of Vermont and lived there for a couple years after graduation. Say hi to Vermont for me.
Okay, sure. That's our little taste of Denver up there in Burlington.
Yeah. So this is quite a book, Kevin. Now you've been training dogs for pretty much your whole life because your father was a very sounds like a pioneer in the industry,
right?
And was his name John? Is that right? Am I remembering
John
that?
Behan, exactly.
John Behan. So you really grew up around your father as he was training dogs, and you sort of picked that up as a child. And then the book is really interesting because you're, one, talking about your thoughts, theories, philosophies about dogs and people and the relationship and the emotional connection and all that stuff. And it's also kind of a personal memoir in a way, where you're talking about your relationship with your father and how you, as you grew into your own person, developed your own philosophies and theories that were different from his as far as how to train dogs.
Right. Now, I don't know how artfully I executed it, but basically I grew up in a way that I was like a dog, and I had a real affinity for the animal's point of view. And the reason I did was because I was extremely shy as a young boy, and so I think that put me in touch with my animal makeup. And I didn't outgrow that. I just kind of grew up in nature and attuned to it, and it then followed me into my work with dogs. So there was always this little voice in the back of my head saying, does that really make sense, even mm-hmm. when I was doing things that I thought were the prescribed way. So I always had that witness in the background watching everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so my story is relevant because I think what I'm trying to say with my own background, it is in parallel with what a dog goes through.
Yeah. And you're talking a lot about the kind of the main theme, reoccurring message is the emotional connection.
Exactly, yeah.
And that dogs read us in a way that we don't necessarily, I mean, I think we do to an extent, but it's not just that we project ourselves onto our dogs, but that our dogs actually feel what we feel in a way. So it's not necessarily what we put onto them, it's what they read from us.
Right, exactly. And what I discovered in my work with dogs and my view of nature is that emotion is actually animal energy. And it's not all these different kinds of emotions. Like, I take a lot of exception to the current views of emotion or the old conventional views of emotion. It's a universal force of attraction. Every sentient being is endowed with it. And that's how they read each other. That's how animals understand each other. That's how they communicate. And it's also going on between the human animal and I started to see there was a logic to it. It wasn't rational logic, but it wasn't irrational or self-destructive, as emotion often gets.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to, little by little, divine what those principles were, and then little by little became also part of a training philosophy and method, which caused me to part company with what my dad was doing and then what modern behaviorism is saying at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you talk a lot about lots of different ideas that have been sort of in place, even down to Pavlov, and the distinction between actually tasting in the present versus anticipation of taste.
Right, yeah.
But then you gave some examples of clients of yours, and there was one example of a Christmas tree, and it's interesting, too, that you work a lot with German Shepherds because they're so sensitive as
yes,
far as breeds. But that there was a dog that was taking the ornaments off of the tree and putting them in a pile.
Right.
And it was like trying to figure out, well, what is the emotional charge that the dog is picking up on that the person is imparting to the ornament?
Yeah, there's a lot to that story. One thing that's really interesting is how the woman who owned the dog was laughing and looked at it in a comical way. And it was cute and everything and endearing.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that's going on is really a deep behavioral issue that, you know, we often hear that the instincts of the wolf are not present in the modern dog. So that, for example, male dogs certainly don't have anything to do with a litter of puppies, and they don't carry food and regurgitate and all that. But what I believe is actually happening is those ancient instincts have been decoupled, and they're now applied in novel ways in how dogs relate to man. So, for example, when the woman, she had this amazing pain in her, or a very profound pain in her, when she would do the ornaments. And what was edited out of that story was that she had gone through a difficult divorce. There's some personal stuff in there mm-hmm. that we edited out. And so every time she placed an ornament on the tree, she was just really mourning for her marriage and the burden on her children. So it was such a tender, compassionate act of this whole decorating of the Christmas tree that her dog started reaching up, grabbing an ornament, and then putting it in a nest. And he also did that with the laundry. When she was doing laundry, which she tried to make into a game with her children, mm-hmm. keep them occupied and offset the loss that they were going through.
Mm-hmm.
So, in my view, the dog was actually perceiving those ornaments like they were little puppies, little cubs, and he was carrying them back to the nest. And
like participating in the activity.
Yeah, right. He was trying to resonate with what was actually going on.
Mm-hmm.
That she treated it as something comical. But it was really meant that there was something unresolved in her, a lot of pain that she really wasn't aware of.
Mm-hmm. So you talk a lot about, emotion and feeling and energy, and that emotion is energy. And it sounds like, different emotions are just different, like, frequencies of energy.
Right.
That dogs are picking up on. And you talk a lot, too, about the laws of attraction. And the connection between that and aggression. And it was at this one thing that you were saying, I think, where if we are angry with a person or something, or that the dog actually views that as us being intensely attracted to.
Yes, right. It's this concept that I came up with called emotional, that I call emotional capacity. And when it's a carrying capacity, how much emotion can go through our body and mind before our carrying capacity is breached, and at which point we either go by instinct or by habit, and that's the end of conscious creative thought or impulses. So what happens is when this energy is moving smoothly through us and it gets blocked, that turns to aggression. And what aggression is blocked attraction. It just wants to get moving again. And you can actually define all behaviors as a function of attraction. Sexual energy, aggressive energy, hurting, anything a dog does is a nuance of attraction. Now, if we turn to nature as a model for this, which should make sense, it should be the place to look, because animals evolved from nature, and in order to cope with nature, we find this very model in the way electromagnetism works, the way gravity works. And I believe we can find those same parallels between in what animals are actually doing. That emotion is what evolved, it's the way consciousness evolved to adapt to nature. And so it follows those same forces of nature. It's resonant with those same forces of nature. I'll never forget the one dog I got this breakthrough with. I was cleaning her kennel, a very aggressive shepherd again. And we had this little dance worked out. And I finally realized I had to give her permission to bite me if she was going to bite me. She wasn't just going to bite me. I had to do something wrong. I had to touch her or falter in the little ritual we had worked out. And then I realized that, wow, she's actually attracted to me. And that attraction actually gave me leverage over her. And then that immediately made sense if you watch a cat play emotional jujitsu on a dog. He turns that very force of attraction back on the dog, and he owns that dog in no time.
Mm-hmm.
So everything started to add up once I started to plug in emotion as energy, animal energy, and it has its own principles and properties, as would any energy. And so the social phenomena in dogs, it's most easy to see in dogs, but in all animals, it would be a self-organizing process. It wouldn't be a leader dictating this is the way it is. It would actually be self-organizing, a bubble up rather than a trickle down. And that made more sense for me.
Mm-hmm. And I have, I have a few examples in my own life that I wanted to talk to you about and get your perspective on based off of where you're coming from with
Great.
This, attraction being a aggression, and aggression actually being blocked attraction, and that type of thing. One has to do with walking on leash, and my partner and I have two Australian cattle dogs.
Right, right.
And we also have a dachshund. And I had another question too about if dogs are a mirror of our emotional makeup and past experiences and all that type of stuff. Then how do you explain multiple dog families when the dogs are very different.
Right.
And act very different. So what I wanted to talk to you about, wanted to get your perspective on leash walking, and then I also had, there was a dog that I could kind of relate to when you were talking about this shepherd in the run that was very, I think in the book you said she was very kind of shy and avoiding. Maybe this is a different one, but then you started, rather than just ignoring the dog.
Oh, yeah, that was a different dog. Yeah, exactly. Yep, I know what you mean.
So I have a few different questions. Taking your kind of theories and philosophies from what you're saying in the book to apply those to these specific situations, because I think that will help me and listeners kind of relate to what you're saying.
You mean leash walking in general?
Something specific
like leash aggression?
Specific, yeah. I'll tell you, we're about to go to break, so I'll elaborate a little bit more.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yep. So when we come back, we'll be talking more with Kevin Behan, who's the author of Your Dog is Your Mirror. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
Looking for the perfect collar for your dog or cat, but all the stores have all the same selection? Can't find just the right bed to fit your home and your pet? Is your pup feeling chilly and wanting a coat to keep warm? Fido and Scratch is Seattle's perfectly balanced pet supply store, carrying everything you need to furnish and feed your cat or dog. They are located in Seattle's Mount Baker neighborhood, just around the corner from the new Mount Baker Light Rail Station on McClellan. For more information, contact the store at 206-588-2111 or friend Fido and Scratch on Facebook.
Hey, my name is Craig Goble.
And I'm Dory Z.
And I'm Rob Gray.
And together, we're the best thing you can do on a Thursday afternoon from 4 to 6. We're talking about leading-edge real estate topics.
Learn the ins, outs, and secrets of the real estate industry.
And why things work and why things don't, every week on Real Estate Radio.
We'll tell it to you as it is, straight, honest, and from the cuff.
And where else can you listen to three real estate professionals who are doing this every day? We're in the trenches, putting transactions together and solving problems.
Real Estate Radio.
Tune in every Thursday afternoon, 4 to 6.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Tell your friends the place to be is Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM, and we're talking with Kevin Behan, author of Your Dog is Your Mirror. Welcome back, Kevin.
Oh, thank you, Julie.
So you were talking in the last segment about your general philosophy that dogs are, that we are extremely emotionally connected, and dogs are extremely emotionally connected to us, and that they essentially mirror us, and in sometimes even physically. I think you were talking about a woman with a Briard that was walking down, and their hair was even bouncing the same way as they were walking. And the dog was having reactions in a dog park that sort of were mirroring her inner feelings about the dog or the owner of the other dog and that type of thing. So, you know, we're talking about emotion as energy and aggression you said aggression is blocked attraction. And it's all, you said in during break that it's actually so simple that it's hard for our intellectual brains to really grasp.
Right.
Because, like, I can get what you're saying as I'm reading the book, but then as I'm, because I'm a trainer and I work with dogs training and behavior on a daily basis, and I get, one of the main things that I get is that when I'm working with a dog, I'm matching, to simply put, matching my energy to theirs. Like, who do I need to be in order for them to be successful in learning?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, like, so you're like a feedback to them.
Right.
Yeah, you're their mirror, exactly.
So it's like you can't just go in and work with every dog the same way because some dogs need a certain energy level, a certain level of intensity.
Right.
Some
so you're tuning into the emotional context of the moment. Exactly. That's an immediate moment phenomena. It has nothing to do with thought.
Right.
It's exactly what you're picking up. Your feelings are organizing your mind to complement this dog.
Right.
And that's happening in reverse as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
When you're aware about it, and that's one thing that so many people, you know, clients that I work with family pets,
right,
are not tuned into.
Exactly.
And
I
then
know the story, yeah.
Once they do, it's kind of like, oh, it's like, okay, slow down and just listen. And to listen to a dog, it's not, you know, they're not verbal like we are. So.
Right. Yeah, I always try to tell people to model after the horse folks because they say things like, I ask the horse to change lead or gait or whatever their stuff is, and they're much more into listening to the horse and being completely aware of the horse. And that's what we as dog owners have to emulate, is how attentive the horse people are.
Mm.
But because they don't live with the horse, and every time you're on a horse, your life is in their hooves.
Right.
You know, you're highly motivated to be like that, but we're dealing with animals either way, and it's incumbent on us to really pay attention to that animal, to that dog, and learn to be that mirror. You're exactly right.
Yeah. So I had a question about when you were talking about aggression being blocked attraction, and I was curious about your insight into leashes, because leashes, you know, problems on leash is such a common issue for people with their dogs. Dogs that go to doggy daycare, dogs that live with other dogs and have dog friends and are not really dog aggressive dogs, but something happens on leash,
right,
and they just get funky, and it
right,
often is going to look like aggression, whether it's usually fear-based or it's the dog is so overstimulated, it's like bubbling over with energy and can't even
right,
stand it, that it's being held back from the dog.
Exactly.
But then they look aggressive. Mm-hmm. So the inclination is not to let the dog, you know, just go up and say hi to the dog. So what's your perspective on what leashes do? And,
okay, well,
and then how to work, you know, how, if a dog is on leash and has to be on leash, then how do you change that energy?
Exactly. Well, if we were in my little office, I would be drawing a diagram, and the relevant parts would be the dog's body and mind as a pipe and the dog's body and mind as a battery. I'm just going to put those on the table. We'll get back to that. So if we look at the word emotion, it means energy in motion. So when a dog is free, then emotion can run its course, and they have enough time and space for the internal principles of emotion to do their thing and organize both dogs to get along, because output can always match input. So the amount of stimulation that's coming in can be perfectly moderated by behavior and by their actions. And their actions are, you'll notice that there's a lot of deflection. So they go from a straight-on attraction, and all of a sudden they start acting circularly, circumspectively, and in a circle, and they approach each other at a little bit of an angle, and they avoid eye contact. So they're actually going from this electrical force of attraction to a magnetic charge where they're actually deflected. And this calms them down, and then they realize, then that feedback thing starts to kick in where, if I stand still, the other dog doesn't do anything. And then the other dog is picking up that same mirror phenomenon. And so they quickly learn to get along, because whenever emotion can conduct through the pipe, the body-mind as a pipe, when output can match input, There's no such thing as aggression. There's absolutely no such thing. So as soon as we put them on a leash, we restrict their movement, their physical movement, and so they start to backlog, just like a checkbook that's no longer in balance. And now output isn't matching input, and that kicks in the battery. And in the battery is the memories, the physical memories of every emotional experience that's ever been lived. And at the very deepest level of the battery, the most intense memories are usually of trauma. So the more intense stimulation that's not going through the pipe, the more the battery is triggered, and the dog actually relives experiences of getting jumped on by another dog or seeing squirrels frustratingly out of reach. Whatever it is that's his most intense physical memories of life on Earth are starting to be reawakened, which is really what Pavlov discovered. But the significance of that hasn't been brought into our understanding, really.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens when the dog is being held back on a leash is his past memories of pain and fear are being triggered, and he actually does see that other dog get ready to hit him. So he launches preemptively, and so that same dog could be playing great with a playmate, and then on leashes he will sink his teeth into the other dog. But there's nobody home in those moments. This is a habit. This is an instinct.
Right.
And that dog isn't there. His consciousness has been completely squished between those ears and behind those eyes by the intensity of the moment.
Mm-hmm. And depending on the dog, and something that I say a lot is that dogs are as individual as people. So, you know, everything depends on the dog as an individual. They're not all going to respond the same way.
Well, yeah, see, that's why I do like to make this distinction, however, that they all run on the common system. So, yeah, they're all different, but their differences are actually a function of what they have in common. So that's why if you look at any two dogs in a household, and I think you mentioned earlier couple dogs in a household, they all are perfectly complementing each other. So, yeah, they're all different, but you know what? They have to be different. They can't be the same. So I like to give the following as a metaphor. If you have dots randomly scattered across the page, you just take a pencil and put all these dots. Each dot is exactly the same as every other dot. You have no variety, no diversity. But if you put those dots on the circumference of a circle, every dot is unique by virtue of what they have in common, i.e. the center of the circle. So because they're aligned around a center, each dot is unique in a longitude and a latitude relative to that circle. And that's actually what I believe temperament is. It's a circle, and the genes distribute personality along that spectrum so that each dog has the entire code, and when it meets something that's very much like itself, it'll become the opposite to it. It's got the whole code in there. It's got its favored position, but it will be able to occupy a whole other dimension, a whole other personality set of traits in order to complement the dog that it's attracted to. So it's really important, I think, to make that point that there's a fundamental emotional mechanic universal to all animals, but it's really easy to see in dogs.
Mm-hmm. And you gave the example of, a pack of wolves hunting together. One will advance. They all don't advance all at once. If they did, it wouldn't work. And if they all retreated at once, they wouldn't work. So they're all sort of varying levels.
Yeah, some are really electric and they want to go right for the base of the moose. And some are really magnetically deflected and they go around the sides, if not to the tail.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way they can have success, and bear in mind, they have to have success without serious injury, because an injury in the wild is the death sentence.
Right.
So they have to radiate in this pattern. And those specific vibrations, if you will, those are actually their personality traits. And then when they lose a member of the group, somebody else will fill that slot, because they all have the same code deep down, the same fundamental mechanism.
So with the leash aggression, I've noticed if the dog is not as intensely energetically upset or activated or whatever by the other dog, simply giving them something else to do in the presence of the distraction helps ground them. And then then you can actually feel that their energy is actually fairly balanced, and they're like, oh, okay, like they kind of give it up pretty easily.
Right.
Whereas other dogs, you can get them to do something else and really try to redirect them or put structure in place and put them on a task, have them sit or have them, you know, walk next to you, you know, kind of make them busy, not distracting them from it, but putting them, giving them something else to focus on. But they're still
amped.
Yeah. So right, it's like, right, they'll do it, but they are not.
They're conflicted.
Right.
And yeah, that means that all the energy that's being triggered in their battery is not moving toward an object of attraction, which we would want to be the owner in that case. So I've reduced it to a simple energetic formula. Let's say the dog on the horizon is worth 200,000 volts.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean? That means that when the dog sees another dog, the first thing he looks at, the first thing he feels, is how much resistance is in that dog's body. How much work is it going to take to bring that dog to ground, to actually knock him to ground, to bring him to ground? Now, he has no intention. He's not trying to hurt that dog. But to feel connected to that dog, they have to form a circle, one up, one down, which has been misinterpreted as dominance and submission.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, what's happening is he sees this force in that dog that wants to maintain its own equilibrium. And what the owner has to become is that same amount of force. So rather than just taking a cookie, the dog has to struggle to get the cookie.
Mm.
I've invented this thing called the pushing technique. And what we do is we train the dog to put all his might into overcoming our resistance to get to the food. And then we trigger him with other dogs. And it doesn't matter to the dog that he actually fights or plays with that other dog. It just matters to him that the 200,000 volts
has
runs
somewhere
the ground
to go. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how I resolve that issue.
Interesting. Well, we're going to take a break, and we actually have a caller who has a question for you, too. So we'll take that call when we come back from break, and then we will also give away a free copy of your book, Your Dog is Your Mirror. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
The dog days are over.
This is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show. If you've been listening, you already know how I feel about Invisible Fence Northwest and their safety solutions for dogs. But get this, they help cats too. They tell me they've helped thousands of felines enjoy safe freedom outdoors or can keep them safe inside. They also have gentle ways to create a dog-free zone for your cat, so your dog will stay away from your cat's food and litter box. Visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you want the Dog Talk Show discount.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
This is Kim Ariano. Join me on Wednesdays at 4 o'clock for Walk the Talk with Kim. We will focus on nonprofit and community organizations to strengthen our community through knowledge, leadership, and collaboration. We will challenge our listeners to walk the talk and take action to support the health and growth of our nonprofit community. You will be inspired with stories of triumph and lessons in leadership. So put on your walking shoes, grab your brain, and let's walk the talk with Kim. Every Wednesday at 4 p.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Let Hot Portraiture paint your dog in a stylish, abstract, realistic style. Artist Jennifer Bloom captures the personality of any canine, big or small, mutt or purebred. You can even include yourself in the painting, and you're sure to love the end result. To find out more, visit hotportraiture.net. That's H-A-U-T-E, portraiture.net. Or call Jennifer at 206-661-4538.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Spread the word. You don't have to settle for the usual talk radio. Now there's Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes, and we are talking with Kevin Behan, author of Your Dog is Your Mirror. Welcome back, Kevin.
Thank you, Julie.
And your website is naturaldogtraining.com. And I just love the picture on the front of the book. It reminds me a lot of the picture I have on my cards and my brochures of my boy, Chewy, who I actually posted on your Facebook page.
Oh, good. Yes, right. I saw that. Exactly.
And it's just this, like, looking directly into your soul type expression.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk with you. Well, first, let's give away your book, because this conversation is going to, I know, fly by this next one. We have a free copy of Kevin's book, Your Dog is Your Mirror, to give away right now on the show. And all you have to do is be the first caller to call in, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. We'll get your name and address and get that out to you. So you talk quite a bit about dominance. And there's this whole thing, you know, everybody, pretty much the average dog owner, has heard somewhere, somehow, by somebody, about how important it is to be the pack leader and the alpha dog and all of this stuff. And it's quite misunderstood, and you really delve into this, which I think is great. But I also wanted to point out, too, that this is this sort of collapse in understanding of what it really means to be a leader and to have and to be followed is not about all of this forceful posturing.
Right,
and you know, forceful actions and aggression. And you made a great point, and then I say this to clients all the time, like, think about leaders in your own life. What is it about them that makes you want to follow them? They're not mean to you. They're not degrading to you. They respect you. You feel good about yourself in their presence. But there's a powerful presence that you sense, like a confidence and a groundedness that I think makes people feel comfortable following that person.
Exactly, yes.
And so I think that's a great point. And dogs are such great judges of really true leadership. And it's not something you can fake, especially with a dog. But I wanted to talk about corrections, because there's been a collapse of in the dog training industry. I think I've definitely seen this in the Seattle area, about this all positive approach where it's completely focuses on rewarding the behavior that you want.
Yeah, that's great. Great question. Let me just preface everything with a metaphor, an example of my philosophy of praise and correction.
And I want to let you know we have about 5.5 minutes.
Okay. So think of training a dog or being this mirror to a dog as like giving a child a ride on a swing. And we would equate pushing the child with praising. But just imagine if the swing gets a kink in it. And if you keep pushing the swing that's kinked, the kink is just going to get bigger. So mm-hmm. If you're praising a dog that's got a kink in the system somewhere, you're actually adding energy to the kink.
Right.
And now, if you were to grab the child with the swing and steady the arc of the swing and reacquire the nice rhythm and then push at a certain time, you're adding energy to the system. So a correction and praise should both add energy to the system. And I don't believe it's possible to raise and train a dog without ever correcting them. That having been said, when I correct the dog, I don't want to establish dominance. I don't want to tell him he's wrong. I don't want to indicate any of those things. All I want to do is add energy to his being attracted to me. So So it changes the way one approaches the whole idea of praise and correction. If you're praising, for example, a dog could be doing something and then you praise it, and you interrupt what it's doing, the dog perceives that as a correction, just like pushing a child that's coming at you on the swing. You say, oh, good, I'll just step in and give him a push. But that's not going to feel very well, very good to the child.
Mm-hmm.
So when you praise, you can praise can actually be a correction, and a correction can actually be praise. Can actually, and the way to straighten it all out is to understand whether or not you're adding energy to the system. And the other thing is we should train a dog to like correction. So, for example, Pavlov discovered that a dog associates the ringing of a bell, a completely mechanical, neutral thing, with the taste of meat. Well, that means, I mean, it's a radical understanding, but what it actually means is a dog can associate a correction with more energy for its owner, too. It doesn't have to be a bad thing. We have it in our mind that a correction is an aversive. It's a bad thing that we do to a dog, and the dog perceives it as something bad. And so if we approach it from that point of view, yeah, the dog does perceive it as something bad. But it's actually possible to teach a dog that a jerk on a leash means, wow, this is great. And it can actually remind him of how to do it something even better, with more precision and more energy.
So what comes to my mind is like a dog jumping up on, like, on me, for example, mm-hmm. and that would be a behavior that I would correct. And where I'm coming from is I'm communicating to the dog to not do that, is where it's like cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
So how is that? That sounds different from what you're saying, because not all the time do I want, well, I guess I'm communicating, I don't do that.
Right, but what the dog is he's attracted to you, and now there's a block between you and him. So I don't want to, for example, you'll probably never, ever, ever be asked to train a dog to stop stealing food from the hot cook stove, whereas you will be asked to, hey, the dog is jumping up on the counters and stealing food and grabbing
right.
stuff. Yeah, but, yeah, exactly. And the reason is that when he goes toward the stove, the hot stove, which every puppy does, he makes himself uncomfortable. And after a while, the food on the stove isn't even food in his mind. It doesn't conduct the emotion. Therefore, it's nothing. And I believe a dog would starve to death with bacon sizzling on a grill, and he would not take that bacon. It would never occur to him that that's even edible.
Mm.
So that's beautiful training. The dog learns never to steal food from the stove. So that's what I do with a dog jumping up is I put him in a situation where he corrects himself, I have nothing to do with it.
Mm.
And he makes himself uncomfortable. So a dog may jump up and I'll have a leash and collar on him, and I'll praise him when he jumps up, but I'll sneak my hand on the collar, on the leash, and when he goes down, he gives himself a little correction.
Mm.
And I praise him immediately, and I'll get a ball and I'll throw it, and he quickly learns that, wow, I made myself uncomfortable, why would I want to do that?
Right. I've always said the most effective corrections just happen from the environment, not necessarily from the person.
Right.
But it's just amazing, you know, there's so much, the whole phenomenon that we even live with dogs and that we've evolved together over thousands and thousands of years. You had said something at the beginning of the interview, and we only have about a minute left, but about how there's a lot of that wolf instinct, the ancestral instinct, has basically evolved and is now, like you said, kind of, I don't remember what word you use, but it's been sort of
decoupled
and
right,
is now relating to people.
Right. See, what's happened with dogs is rather than being driven by instinctual triggers, they are now driven by group triggers. So whatever the group focuses on, the dog aligns and it gets really attracted with all the energy in the group. He gets really attracted to it, which is why the number one chewed puppy item in every household is now the remote TV clicker.
Funny.
Isn't that wild? It
yeah.
used to be slippers and this and that, but now it's the clicker because that's apparently what everybody's focused around.
Right.
And so that's what's happened is these ancient instincts have been decoupled from autonomic triggers responses, and they now are free-floating, and they align around whatever the group is focused on. Which brings me to the reason I wrote the book is your dog is your mirror. So what he picks up is whatever we're really viscerally moved by, He'll feel that, and that's what his behavior actually is an expression of.
So as you can tell by the interview, this book has a lot of information in it, a lot of thought-provoking theories, philosophies. You've got a lot of stories, and then also it's very interesting about your own development as a trainer and as apart from your father, who was also a trainer. It's called Your Dog is Your Mirror. It's a great read. We've given away a copy of the book during the show, and Kevin's website is naturaldogtraining.com. Kevin, thanks so much for being on the show. We'll be back same time, same place next week.